Well, good morning, church. Great to be with you guys this morning. So excited to be here. This is a special weekend and kind of our annual rhythm, something that we step into a couple of times a year that I'm really excited to kind of share with you guys. So I love snorkeling. It's kind of one of the things that when I get the opportunity to go out and explore what's under the ocean, it's just always a great joy to me. I wanted to be a marine biologist before God called me into ministry and work with fish instead of people. And sometimes I think to myself, should have done it. I love you guys, but I'm just saying, fish don't talk back. But I didn't, so I get to do that recreationally on occasion. And the thing about snorkeling is, you know, you go to this area where there's a reef usually, and then you go down, and then you explore, and usually what ends up happening is you just get down there, and you see something super cool, and then, like, you can't get deep enough because you have to stay shallow, and then you run out of breath, so you pop back up. So one of my dear friends, his brother is actually a free diver and a free diving instructor, and so I've been kind of watching this whole free diving world for a while now, and it's super crazy, right? So in free diving, they can hold their breath anywhere from 3 minutes to 6 minutes. I mean, just think about that for a second. This is perfectly, we are perfectly capable as humans to hold our breath for 5 or 6 minutes. 5 or 6 minutes. And then they don't go down 10 or 15 or 20 feet. They go down 100, 150, 200 feet, free diving. Like, no breathing apparatus, down and back. Totally, totally normal. I'm like, what? And so my friend's brother trains people to free dive in no time at all. And then you get to go down. And then when you go snorkeling, it changes the entire experience. Because now you can go down deeper and you can stay under longer so that you can explore things. So it's a pretty, pretty cool thing. But the reality is, no matter how deep you can go and how long you can explore, at some point you got to come up for breath. Because when we talk 5, 6, 7 minutes, you talk 12 minutes, you talk dead, right? I don't care who you are, at 12 minutes, it's over. So you got to come up for breath. And in many ways, life is the same way from a soul perspective. We are in a cultural context where information is so available to us now through the giant world of the information highways and the devices we have to access those highways that we have and are quickly forgetting as a human race what it means to stop and process information. We just collect it now. We don't really process it anymore. We don't have time to, because the second we've collected information, we're already on to collecting the next piece of information. We don't process the information we have. So one of my soul care mentors, Stephen Smith, he often says when we're talking, he'll just stop in the middle of doing something, digging into something in scripture and go, let's all just stop and take a breath. And then he said this, let's come up for air. Isn't that beautiful? So what we do is we travel. Even in a space like this, we travel into this wondrous, amazing revelation that we get to explore. We dive into it and we swim around in it and we explore things. But at some point, if we don't come up for air and just process what God has shown us, then all we'll do is move on to the collection of the next piece of information. And so, yep, we're done with 1 Peter. What's the next book? Let's roll into it. What's the next sermon? What's the next topic? What's the next reality? And so what we're going to do here, and we've been doing it periodically, and we're going to continue to do that, is every 3 months or so, we take an entire weekend. We break away from the preaching and the going, and we stop, and we just reflect, and we process, and we pray. Prayer is an incredible discipline of the faith because it affords us both the opportunity to engage directly with God in a unique way of communicating, asking Him to engage with us in a unique way, but it also is a stopping point where you have to process. In order to pray, you're not collecting information, you're now processing information and asking God to do things in you, through you, with you, around you. So today we're going to do that. I'm going to give you a brief context for what we're going to be praying for, and then Dave's going to come up here and lead us through different steps of prayer where we're going to pray together as a community. So we did just finish 1 Peter. And do you remember where Peter landed us at the end of the letter? So of course the context was, we are people belonging to God and his kingdom, but we're still here on this planet. And because this planet is still infected by the virus sin and therefore producing death, as is our body, we are actually people who don't belong here, but are still here. And he refers to us as exiles. But we are not exiles in an accidental space where God kind of forgot to collect us, right? He purposed us here to be participants in redeeming what is dead and broken and infected by sin so that life might infect all of that and freedom might come. So we are the ambassadors of Christ. But Peter was very clear. This life that we're called to, that we're invited into, once we get it and we realize we're participants and we actually engage in being redemptive as our Savior was redemptive and is redemptive for us, that being redemptive means it's going to get messy. Why? Because one, we're going into unredeemed things, people, spaces, and they come with a mess. You don't redeem things blinking your eyes. You have to engage, give of yourself, take on the burdens of the unredeemed, and that is heavy. Jesus did it for us. He didn't come here to planet Earth, snap his fingers, redeem the human race. He lived the life we were supposed to live in the discomfort of a human body. He died the death we were supposed to die to raise from the dead. He was crucified by the very people he came to redeem. And Peter essentially says to us, expect the same. This world is going to make things hard in general because it's infected by sin, but also specifically as we live out for Jesus, we're going to face difficulty. And then he said, not only that, but you have an enemy actively, spiritually, who's trying to derail you while you're trying to engage in this great mission that's already hard. So you're gonna get hard from two spaces. And this is how he says it. Listen, real quick. And this gives us the context for our praying today. Context one, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to refine you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. So there it is, right? When it gets hard because you're living for Jesus, redeeming things, don't be surprised. But be overjoyed that you are a participant with Jesus in redeeming things on this planet. And then chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Here it is. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. So now that's talking directly to people who already follow Jesus. The enemy is wanting to devour you or me or both of us. So today, as we enter into a time of praying together, we're going to pray for two things. The first is that we're going to pray for all of the people that know Jesus that are facing hostility because they know Jesus and they're living that out, because they're sharing their faith or because they're wanting to. That includes many of you that live in a home, maybe with people that don't know Jesus, or you're in a workplace that's hostile toward the gospel, or you're in social networks that are hostile toward the gospel. Insofar as you share your faith, you get made fun of. Or you share your faith, people look weird at you. They don't listen. They're hostile toward you. We want to pray for you because we know that the world out there, to be able to bring your faith to the table, can be complicated and difficult and make you feel small and insignificant. So we want to pray for one another in that. Then we want to pray for the grander world out there that are facing extraordinary persecution, where actually their lives are in danger, actually their churches are being burned to the ground, actually their families are being beaten and even losing their lives because they bother to show up on a Sunday for church. That would be a deterrent, wouldn't it? We offer coffee, they offer death potentially. What? So they do it anyway, and they face great persecution. We're going to pray for our brothers and sisters around the world. Then when we're done doing that, together in groups, then we're going to kind of sit quietly by ourselves. And we're going to engage in the second part of what 1 Peter laid out for us, that the enemy is after us. And we are going to ask the Spirit of God to help us recognize and face the things in us that he uses to keep us derailed from the incredible mission we've been called to. And best I can tell, they fall into generally three categories. This isn't an exhaustive reality, but in general, I've found it to be in these spaces. The first is distractions. Hello, welcome to the human race. That includes all of you, me included. We have distractions. These are the things that don't captivate us. We don't hold on to them, or they haven't bound us. They don't hold on to us. They're just available, and whenever you're relatively bored or significantly unintentional, you just do them, right? So, you know, social media can fall into this category, Netflix and Hulu and different. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to, but it's there, and you're tired, and ding, early, 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 early. They're just the distractions, the things you get busy with when you got nothing else to do, and they keep you from being intentional in your disciplines of intimacy with Jesus. They keep you from being intentional in your spiritual journey. They keep you from being intentional in your relational connections with biblical community and your inner circle because you're just distracted. We want to recognize those, and we want to face them. Then there are our idols. That's a biblical word. An idol is something that you have replaced God with as a thing that will give you what you need. So we have idols like, for example, control. If I can just get everyone and everything the way I need them to be, then my life will be okay. Nobody struggles with that yet, right? Zero. Or maybe your idol is also people in that way, but it's this way. If I can just keep everyone happy, and I can just make it, if we can just all relax, if we can just all be flexible, then we'll be happy together. Put two of those people together, see how that goes. Maybe your idol is security and safety, found in resources. If I can just have enough in the bank, get high enough in the career, put enough away for retirement, have enough, then I'll be safe. But until I have enough, I've got to keep going. And that leads to addictions like workaholism or addictions that materialism. Man, if I can just collect that. Or maybe your idol is experiences. If I can just have that car or that experience or that thing or go to that vacation or live in that space, have that house, live in that neighborhood, then I will be well. See, idols surround us, right? And they are the things that we have replaced our well-being with instead of God. My well-being will be found in this thing instead of in God. And then the last one is addictions. So idols are the things we hold on to. Distractions, they just distract us. Idols we hold on to. This will make me happy. Addictions hold on to us. They might have started as idols. They might have started as distractions, but they became something that we got stuck in. Sometimes they're chemical. You know, you had some legit pain. You started taking those pills to help with the pain. Then the pain got better, but the pills, now there's something. So you kept taking them and kept convincing yourself that you still have pain. Now it's been months, maybe years. That would put you in a large part of our population, addicted to pharmaceutical stuff. Or maybe you just looked at once on the computer and then just one other time and then another time and now your sexual addiction's out of control and it's just so regular, so constant. Or maybe it is some kind of substance abuse. Yeah, you don't get drunk in any kind of regularity, but if you don't have that glass of wine, you can't wind down anymore. You gotta have it before the evening can get started. It's the things that we don't even recognize. They just sit there and they have us now. So the enemy comes in and uses distractions, idols, the things we hold on to, or addictions, the things that now hold on to us. And he keeps us from the extraordinary freedom and adventure that we're invited into as exiles on this planet living for the kingdom of God. Today, we want to just take some time to engage in facing those just by ourselves here with Jesus, with the Spirit of God. And that's going to be simple. We're going to take some time after we've prayed for those suffering and struggling and persecuted here and around the world. We're going to take some time by ourselves sitting quietly in place to ask the Spirit of God to examine us. Show me so I can see. Then we're going to confess. I acknowledge what I've seen. Yep, it's here. Thank you for showing me. That's scary. And then we're going to begin the journey of repentance. I am so sorry that this thing matters more to me or has me captivated in a way you don't. Help me to find myself more in you so that this thing diminishes. Because our work is not to behave better. Our work is to fix our eyes on Jesus more, right? We're never going to undo this stuff by trying to get rid of it. We're going to undo it by bringing ourselves back to the gospel over and over again. That's why Peter's big conclusion was this: for this is the grace of God I'm giving you. Stand firm in it. That's what we're here to do today, to stand firm in it by examining, confessing, repenting. And then we're going to worship together out of that and spend some time. So I'm going to pray for us right now, and then Dave's going to come up and he's going to lead us through these different sections of prayer. And you guys will pray together as a community and then pray individual some, and then we'll worship and we'll let the Spirit of God do what the Spirit of God wants to do today and see where he begins to set us free so that we can be the people he has invited us to be for his kingdom. God, thank you for the joy it is to just kind of gather up together and sometimes just stop, come up for air, process what we've been learning, process what you've been showing us, to respond by praying together for others, for those in our midst, and even asking you to examine us and our own hearts and reveal, and then for us to acknowledge, and then for us to repent, to demonstrate grief, and to begin to ask for strength to walk in to the journey ahead. God, do what you see fit here today. Hear our cries. Give us ear so that we might come to you as children and watch you move as a good father, transforming and changing us and the world by your grace and your goodness. Help us fix our eyes on you this morning, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I love that this morning we have the opportunity to have some margin, which is a rarity these days, and to take that margin that we've been given and to reconnect with our Heavenly Father and just to explore yet again the treasure that Jesus is. And so that's where we're going to be. And one of the things that's so awesome about what we're about to do is we can do this on a Sunday, but this is something that you can do at home as well, where you're at Monday through Saturday. It does not have to just stay here. So this is just an opportunity to practice some disciplines and some spiritual practices that then you can take out there and in your missional community with friends and other followers. You can continue this. And so I would ask to start this way. If you are here today and you find yourself in the space that Pastor Renaud was just talking about, where you're at work, in your neighborhood, maybe in your family, it's hard. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of tension because of your faith in Jesus. Then would you stand right now? Would you stand and go ahead and have the courage to do that? And so it's just hard at work because of your faith in Christ, family, or you're actively trying to share your faith with somebody maybe close by. If that's you, would you please stand? And you're not seeing a whole lot of traction, and people aren't responding, and maybe you are ridiculed and not having favor in that space. And here's what I would ask you to do. If somebody is standing by you, would you gather around them? If you can't quite get to them, then you can go ahead and put your hand out towards them. But would you gather around them? And would we just as a community pray that they would stand bold in their faith, that they would not give up, that the Spirit of God would give them the words to say and the hope to continue on this journey. So let me start us off, and then would you just gather around as a group of people and as you feel led, and then we'll pray for them. God, thank you so much for the church, your family, brothers and sisters who are standing with us now. God, these people who have had the courage to stand, and even those who may not have had the courage to do that, but are still going through it, I pray that your Spirit would embolden them. God, that we as a people called your church would raise them up, that we would stand in the gap and love and serve them and encourage them and let them know that they are not alone. So would you pray for those people that you are now surrounded by? God, thank you for the reminder that we're not alone, that there are other people who believe what we believe and want to see you lifted high. And I pray for these people who have stood, that they would be encouraged today. Well, guys, we're kind of late to the game. We live on this side of the international dateline, which means that all over the world, people have come and gone to gatherings. And many of those people are right now facing very hard things. They may be they find themselves in jail now, or maybe they have been separated from their family. Maybe they walked out the doors of the building that they were in and things did not go well. Maybe their building was taken from them today. That is going on right now for people that are brothers and sisters of the same faith that we adhere to here at Mosaic. And we do not want to forget them. And so here's where we'd like to take you next is, would you just gather up with people right now, just around you, in front of you, beside you, get into groups of 10, 15, however that may do, however that may break down. Go ahead and get into those groups. And then would just one of you start praying for our brothers and sisters all over the globe that are right now in a space that is incredibly difficult, much harder than anything that many of us have ever seen. If you happen to be a Spanish speaker, just know that we have simultaneous translation over in this corner. Our Spanish speakers over there. So if you want to go with other Spanish speakers, you can make your way right over there. You see the hands waving. Please make your way over there. But let's gather up into groups 10, 15, and then would one person just take the reins there, and let's just pray for our brothers and sisters all over the world that are being persecuted right now. Lord Jesus, how encouraging it is from my vantage point to hear hundreds of voices gathered together and rising before you, a God who can and will do amazing things. God, protect your church worldwide. Provide for your church worldwide, and may the message of the gospel of Jesus make its way into every corner. God, continue to do what only you can do, and we are so glad that we get to participate in your work by praying, and we believe that great things are going to come from these words. Great things will come from people gathered together, united in our vision to see your work done globally. Thank you that we can participate in that, Jesus. If you guys can make your way back to your seats now, we're going to engage in a little more personal reflection. And we have a great opportunity set before us today where we get to go one-on-one with the creator of the universe. And here's what I would ask you to do. As Pastor Rune talked about, there are distractions that are out there. There are idols that we have, and there are addictions that have captivated us and captured us. So here's where we get to go next, is we get to, just in the quietness of our seat, to close our eyes, and I would ask you to do that. Just in your seat, just close your eyes, push aside all distractions. Don't worry about who's to your right or left or who's in front of you or behind you. Put all that you came in with aside, and just, would you connect with God and just ask the Spirit of God to reveal to you where it is that he wants to work with you. Right? Ask him to reveal. Is it a distraction? Is it an idol? Is it an addiction? Is it a couple of those? Is it all of them? Or is it something altogether different? Let's just have a conversation with the Spirit of God. And would you examine yourself in the quietness of where you are? Let me start us off, and then I'll volley to you guys. Spirit, we welcome you here now. Would you speak loud and clear so that we do not miss what you have to say to us? Thank you. Spirit of God, thank you for revealing what you have revealed. Thank you for just a few moments where we can pause from the busyness of life and hear from you. Staying in an attitude of prayer and right where you are at, we have been given an incredible gift to go straight to our Heavenly Father because of what Jesus has done. We don't have to go through anyone. Now we have direct access. And so now we get to confess, to specifically call out what he has revealed. So in the quietness of your seat, would you just bring that to God? Specifically lay that out before him. This is the opportunity to bring that sin into the light and tell God that you have been outside of his ways. So would you do that in the next few moments? Let's enter a time of repentance. And repentance, biblical word, churchy word, and all that is turning away from that which had captivated us, whatever that distraction or idol or addiction was, and turning our back to that, saying that we are sorry, that there is a deep-seated sorry in our soul, and we are turning away from that and putting our full affection and gaze now on Jesus and asking him to lead us, that we will follow him and let him lead the way to life and freedom. So would you just now take what he has revealed, what you have confessed, and ask him to lead you away from that, and that he would lead you to put your full affection and attention on him. John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So now we have the opportunity to respond in worship, and in just a moment, Pastor Renaud is going to walk us through communion. And we get to step into that space as an act of worship. But before we go there, let me pray for us and just thank God for this opportunity that we've had for the last few minutes where we actually had to set aside our phone or worry about what's in front of us or beside us and to get the opportunity to commune with our Heavenly Father through prayer. Let me pray for us, and then Pastor Renaud will come up and walk us through communion. Dear God, thank you so much for this time, this space, this margin to be able to connect with you, to pray and to ask you to reveal to us, to pray and to bless those around us who are going through hard times, to pray and to ask you to move unmistakably all over this world where people are going through incredibly difficult times because of their faith in you. And God, we want to be faithful to continue to pray for them. We don't want what happened here this morning to stop. I pray that you would continue to invite us in, and as your Spirit prompts us towards that, that we would begin to step into this these disciplines more and more and more. And that as we see prayer take deeper root here, that we would just begin to see you do things that could only be explained because it's you. And so thank you that we got a chance to examine and confess and to turn away from. God, these are all things that we are so appreciative of, that you don't leave us in our sin, that it's not up to us to try to figure it out. But because of your great sacrifice, Jesus, we can place our faith in you and now walk in freedom and life and hope and purpose because you are at work. You have been, you are, you always will be. And it is our privilege to walk with you, to know you, to respond in faith as you reveal yourself to us. And this is not up to us. It's not our effort. It's simply us coming to you and saying, we need you. And we want you. Make that a bigger reality in our lives by the power of your Spirit. And for your name's sake in this generation, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
You know, one of the most extraordinarily beautiful things about the gospel, the redemptive story, the redemptive work of God, in terms of the way it affects us, is that it affords us the freedom to invade the spaces of our shame and sin, not to have to cover them and hide them. Isn't that amazing? Like, think about it for a second. You remove the gospel, and any time we examine the things in our hearts that are idols or addictions or distractions, sin, it's going to lead to shame. And then it's going to lead to isolation. So what do? We have to create a world where we avoid that, or we cover it, or we hide it, so that we can stay free from the shame. But the work of Jesus comes along and says, I have now set you so free that you can go in and face that, because once you face it and bring it to me, I just free you from it. And so it no longer leads to shame and death. Facing it now leads to freedom and life. And we do that. That's why when Peter wrote at the very end of that letter, this is how he ends the letter. I'm writing briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. What is the this? The gospel. All the work that Jesus has done for us. Stand firm in it. That's it. And so when we come together like this and we let the Spirit of God examine us and we see what we see, I hope all of you saw some things that you were like, yeah. Then we take those things and what do with them? We come back to the gospel, back to Jesus, and say, here it is again, just the residual unredeemed stuff in me. Thank you that you have redeemed it, and that you are sanctifying it, setting it free. So what better way to do that than to come to the table of communion, right? So actually Paul, when he wrote to the church in Corinth, who were making a mess of it, and he was trying to give them instructions like, come on guys, this is a sacred table to remember the most important things to our human souls. He said to them a couple things. He said, one, don't come to this table because you're hungry or because you're trying to prove something to other people, trying to fit into the crowd, trying to be spiritual. Come to this table to remember what Jesus has done for you, what he is doing for you, and what he will do for you, that he came, that he lived the lives we should have lived, that he died the death we deserve because of our sin, that he rose from the dead to set us free from that sin, so that when we come to him and we acknowledge, I am a sinner, we confess our sin, and we ask him to be our righteousness, that he is faithful and just to forgive us. And then we can do that by participating in regularity in our freedom to say, keep examining me. Why? Because my sin does not affect my eternal life any longer because you've set me free. But it still messes with my temporal life and I'd rather have it not. So I'm going to keep examining, keep confessing so that I can keep living more and more in your freedom here. And then the table, Paul says, is to come and remember the great work of redemption. That's why Paul said, I give to you what he gave to us, that on the last day when he was with his disciples, he took the bread at the meal that represented the Passover meal, that represented the great rescue of God of his people, Israel, out of slavery from Egypt. Jesus elevated this meal to represent God's great rescue of the human race from sin and death. He said, from now on, when this bread breaks, remember this was me breaking for you to set you free. And from now on, when you drink the cup of redemption, this cup is the representation of my blood covering you in righteousness. So Paul actually, oddly enough, when he wrote to the church in Corinth, this is what he said. When you come to this table, before you come, examine yourself. See, in the church, oftentimes it's used like this. Check and make sure you don't have anything holding you back, because if you do, don't come to the table. You got to get yourself squared away before you come to this table. That is the opposite of what this table is for. It literally is the opposite. Just be honest with yourself and see what the Spirit is showing you that needs Jesus to be doing a work in you, and then come to the table to bring it to Jesus. We come to this table because we're still struggling with sin, not because we're free from it here. We come to this table because we still live in a world of sin and death. And we come to remember that we are eternally free because of Jesus and that he is sanctifying us day in and day out today. So, with all that said, we've done the examining. We've sought to see where we find that the unredeemed things in us, and instead of burying them with Jesus, we invade them with the Spirit of God. Now you come to this table as a first step in that journey of repentance to say, I come to remember what you've done for me so that I don't fall into shame, but I journey into freedom. And I come to remember your great work, and then after I've remembered, then I can continue to step into deeper community so that I can be free of these idols, of these addictions, and of these silly distractions. And so we're going to do that. When you come to the tables, there are tables all around the room. In the back, so those of you in the back don't have to come all the way to the front. On the sides, in the front here, there are tables. The two tables on the very corners of the stage, they do have gluten-free options. For those of you that have a legit allergy, please feel free to go there. Just ask for that. But they also have regular unleavened bread. So you don't have to be like, that's the gluten table. Or the gluten-free table. It's not. It's both. But you can do that if you need to. Other than that, when you come, a couple things to remember. Someone behind the table will take a piece of unleavened bread, hand it to you. They'll say something to you about the freedom in Christ. You dip it either in the wine or the juice, whichever is your preference. One is not more spiritual than the other, just preference. As you put it into your mouth and you taste the texture and the flavor and the reality, that's supposed to stir your senses to remember the great work of redemption Jesus has done for us, his body, his blood spilled for us. When you stand in line to come to a table, this isn't Disney and this ain't a roller coaster. You understand? That line is not you waiting to get to the table so you can remember Jesus. The entire journey is remembering Jesus. That's why we're going to be worshiping while we're standing in line. The songs are intended with words to stir your heart toward Christ. So don't stand in that line with your head down, shuffling forward so you can go remember Jesus. Stand in that line remembering Jesus. Every second, staring at the screen, worshiping him until you get to the table, and then remember him more. And then as you go sit down, more, so that eventually that sin we examined and confessed is so inundated with the work of Jesus and his freedom for us that it has no place in our lives. And slowly we can watch it fade away in the light and glory of Christ. Amen. So let me pray, and then as soon as I'm done praying, come forward, go backwards, come and share in communion. If you're coming to this table to remember Jesus, then you are welcome here. God, thank you for this table, this sacred table that you gifted to us for one purpose and one purpose alone, to come and remember who you are, what you've done for us, and who we are in you now, to remember our freedom. So God, I pray that as we come to the table of communion now, that you would stir in us the great remembrance of your great work of redemption. I pray, God, that as we come to this table, we would come and experience freedom despite the things you have revealed to us, despite our distractions and our addictions and our idols, that we would come freely to this table to say, Jesus, I know you are bigger than those things, and that this would be a first step in fixing our eyes on you and beginning the journey into full repentance, seeing this sin left behind because you invade it with your grace, your mercy, and your power in and through us. So God, we worship you, we honor you, we're in awe of you, and we thank you for all that you have done, are doing, and will do for us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Come, stand, come to a table, remember, worship, enjoy.